Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask God, and God will send another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. And God will send you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. Who in your life has advocated for you? In that moment when you needed someone's help, someone to stand alongside you, to speak on your behalf, who was there? We all need someone from time to time, don't we? That's part of being human. We are one of the very few species on the planet who was born completely helpless. We survive the birth canal only to rely on the kindness of strangers, praying that someone's going to be there to walk alongside us, to comfort us, to protect us. After all, at that point, we can't roll over, we can't walk, we can't even crawl on our own. No, for all of those things, among a few others, we need someone's help. And when we're young, that's basically fine. That is, before we can talk, we're perfectly okay with getting help from others. No, something happens when we age. Maybe not to all of us, but to many of us. Maybe it is that inner two-year-old that gets stuck inside of us that just keeps demanding that we can do this on our own, that we don't need anyone's help, that we've got this. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we do have it. Sometimes we can do it on our own. But not all the time. No, try as we might, there are other moments when we can't do it without help. As much as we might not like to admit it, we are connected to other people in this world, and we need them in order to survive. In no small part, we need others, not just to survive, but to thrive. That is, we can make it on our own for a little bit, but in order to live, like really live, we need someone else. Or as those prophets from Liverpool, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but John, Paul, George, and Ringo put it, we get by with a little help from our friends. So, friends, who are those people for you? Who are your advocates? Who's the person that's willing to tell you the truth even when you don't want to hear it? Maybe especially when you don't want to hear it, not just when there's broccoli stuck in your teeth or you need to change your socks, but because you need to hear something, because you've turned the wrong way, because you've made a mistake, because you're getting in your own way. Maybe some of us are there this morning. So who is your advocate? Now, maybe some of us are thinking about our mothers this morning. It would make sense. It is Mother's Day after all. Hence all the people coming along to church this morning. Welcome. And some of us were lucky enough to have mothers who were our biggest advocates, who were there to walk alongside us, to point us in the right direction, to pick us up and brush us off when we fall, as happens to the best of us from time to time. Our mothers were there. Some of us were blessed to have those kind of mothers in our lives, and we give thanks for all of them this morning. But that's not all of us. The truth is, this can be a really challenging day for so many, as many people have complicated relationships with their mothers, or never knew their mothers, or long to be mothers, or miss the mothers they once had. And while we can pause and give thanks for all of those mothers out there today who are just trying their best, as undoubtedly all of them are, Maybe one gift we can give to every mother today is to relieve the burden just a little bit, to relieve the pressure just a little bit, and to remind each other that we all have more than our mothers out there to advocate for us in this life. We heard about it in the scripture, didn't we? If you love me, you will follow my commandments. And I will ask God, and God will send another advocate to be with you forever. Another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. This comes, of course, from the Gospel of John, which makes it a little complicated. John's Gospel is complicated, not just because the language is different, though it is, not just because the stories are different, though they are, not just because it takes the Christian enterprise and turns it on its head, though it sort of does. No, John's Gospel is a little complicated, because he has to deal with things that the other three Gospels missed. It's not their fault, really. They were products of their time, just like us. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, the early epistle writers, they all had a very specific idea. They thought that Jesus was coming back, and soon. Truly, I tell you, not a generation will pass before these things have taken place. Not a generation will pass away before these things have taken place, which meant that those early Christians saw their entire product, their entire project, as to just bide, to hold tight until they could get by with a little help from their friend, Big F. That is, they wanted to wait. They knew they were called to love God and love their neighbor as themselves, as all of us are, but they were fairly limited in that scope. That is, what use was it to tear down those systems and structures of oppression, to confront the errors of the day, to deal with the injustices of the moment, if Jesus was coming back to set things right? Right? And we get it. It would be really nice if we didn't have to deal with any of those things either. If we came to church not having to think about gun violence or racism or climate change or the exclusion of our LGBTQ siblings or geopolitical struggles or any of those other kinds of things facing our world, if we could just hold tight and know that Jesus would come back and set all of those structures of injustice crumbling down, and so we understand why those first century Christians just waited. Truly, I tell you, not a generation will pass away. In the meantime, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That is, let it be. Only a generation did pass. And another, and another. By the time John was writing in the late first or early second century, making it one of the latest books added to our Bibles, he had to deal with the fact, he had to confront the fact that those early Christians, that we had gotten it wrong, that Jesus wasn't coming back, at least not in the way that we originally thought, that he wasn't coming back. You see, for John, he understood that Jesus the Christ, that is, the Word made flesh that was there in the beginning, through whom all things came into being, and without whom not one thing came into being, but that Jesus the Christ isn't coming back because he never really left. Do you hear? We can hear it in our passage today. I will not leave you orphaned, that I will be in you. And you will be in me. Soon we are coming to a time in which the world will not see me, but you will see me and know me. Because I live, you also will live. Because I live, you also will live. It's strange, circular language, as is so much in the Gospel of John. But we can hear at the core of it a promise, a kind of Easter promise, that even if Jesus is dead, Christ is very much alive. Do you hear? Even if Jesus is dead, Christ is very much alive, literally. That is, Christ is alive in and with us and for us, in our highs and in our lows, in our ins and in our outs, in those high moments of our life and in the very lowest moments of our life. Christ is alive. How do we know? Because when we follow his commandments, we find he is alive. And what is his commandment? that we love one another. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. Why? Because when we love, we find life. Not at death, but right now. We find life in one another. We find that we can advocate for one another. Maybe that is how we're called to keep Christ alive in this world. Maybe that's what we are called to do, to address those structures and systems of oppression that are keeping other people down, to stand in solidarity. That is to love, not just in the cotton candy, sunshine and roses kind of way, but the kind of love that makes us go and care, not just for the people who look like us or think like us or smell like us, but for all, young and old, black and white, gay and straight, male and female, rich and poor, broken and whole, Republican and Democrat, trans and cis, immigrant and citizen, abled and disabled, and everyone beyond and between, all. We are called to step into this world as advocates for one another. The word advocate in our scripture is from the Greek word paraclete, which is a strange word, and it could be translated as comforter or helper, but it carries the connotation of a defense attorney. One who is willing to stand alongside and speak on one's behalf. My brother-in-law is an exceptionally good attorney in Albany, and he reminds me from time to time that in our legal system, everyone is deserving of a robust defense. The good news is the same thing is true theologically as it is legally. That's part of the gift of grace. You have it, whether you deserve it or not. It is there for all of us, the best of us and the worst of us. That is the beauty and the scandal of grace. That is, we always had an advocate, but the thing is, so does everyone else. If we get by with little help from our friends, what makes us think others can get by on their own? And if we're looking around, noticing that someone's pulling for someone else to help them, well, then maybe we know what we're called to do. Maybe we know how we are being called to step up and step out, to be that advocate for someone else. And look around. There are plenty of people out there who are needing some help, not just with our food or our clothing or our medical care, though, to be clear, all of those are important. No, they are looking for our voice, for us to stand up and to speak out and to say something. Maybe some of you have been as moved as I have been this week by those stories of the mothers in Uvalde. Those mothers who, a year after the evil wrought by guns on their children, are standing up and speaking out. Who even in death will not stop being an advocate for the lives of their children, for the lives of our children. Or maybe the families and friends of the Buffalo 10 who a year ago were slaughtered at the intersection of racism and gun violence, who are also speaking out and stepping up. They are trying to use their voice. The question is, will theirs be alone? Will we let them advocate for themselves because it didn't happen to us? Or will we use our voice in this moment? Will we use our voice to stand up and to speak out and to be an advocate for those in this world who desperately need it? Will we be like Matthew and Mark and Luke and those early epistle writers and just hold tight, waiting for Jesus to return and set things right? Or will we become the body of Christ for this broken world and make a difference with our voice and our hands and our feet? In other words, will we look to the clouds or to the crowds of people that God has placed in front of us, calling on us to befriend? The good news is that even if we fail, even if we fall flat and never do a thing from here, the truth will be their advocate. The truth will be their advocate. I will ask God, and God will send another advocate to be with you forever. This is the spirit of truth. Why is truth the advocate? Because where there is truth, there is God. Wherever there is truth, there is God. That is why Christians fear not the truth wherever we find it, because God is already there. But friends, if you've ever been in this situation, then you know that if it's just you and the truth, it is an awfully lonely place. Which is why we have the church. That's why we're here, not to be perfect, but to come together to be a little more perfect. That is, to keep telling the truth to one another, not just when we get that broccoli stuck in our teeth or need to change our socks, but when we need to step out and to speak out in love, when we find ourselves turning in the wrong direction or getting in our own way. We need people in our lives who are willing to point us back towards the good. Point us back towards life, point us back towards love. When the world is on fire and we come in pretending like we don't smell like smoke, we need people who are gonna set us straight. When we let that inner two-year-old take over and we pretend like we can do all of this on our own, we need people who are gonna remind us that we only get by with a little help from our friends. We need people, especially on days like today, to remind us that all of us have more than our mothers as advocates. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask God, and God will send another advocate to be with you forever. This is the spirit of truth. Friends, who in your life has been your advocate? Whose life have you advocated for? May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.